You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome in to another edition of the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Alec Polito, joined by my co-host, as always, Lorenz Linebeba. On today's show, we'll be discussing a big game that happened last night. Well, actually, when you hear this, it'll be a couple nights ago. But the national championship game between Georgia and Alabama, the long-awaited game, I think that we all wanted to see rematched, and it did. It got rematched. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is you leave us a five-star rating. And check out our written content, too, at si.com/NFL/draft. Tons of great content coming out over there. But before we get into anything, Lorenz, man, how are you doing? It was a, I guess, early morning slash late night for you?
Yeah, it was kind of in the middle of the night. You know, I got a little power nap in before, and then got up at around 2 a.m. was the kickoff over here. People who don't know, I'm in Germany. So, I was excited. I'm still buzzing from the game. I mean, I'm going to claim that I'm one of the top 1% of the top 1% of people that have seen Alabama and Georgia, their last two matchups on film. Like, I don't know in how many categories I rank that highly, and I'm in that kind of percentage. But I've seen that game, especially the 2020 game, I feel like so many times. And this rematch or the SEC championship game as well. So I was really buzzing for it, really excited for this game. And it was I love these defensive battles. I thought this is the way. The fireworks and the offensive stuff a couple years ago when we had Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence going up, that's all fun. But like these kind of games, I feel like the big plays feel so much bigger if they come scarcely like they do. And it's all a little bit easier to remember. And the big moments, I think, stand out even more. It was an awesome game, in my opinion. It was worthy of a national championship and it had a worthy winner. I'm excited to get into it, if you couldn't tell. But Alec, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. That was such a fun game. Final score ended up a little bit higher than what the game played out to be. It really did play out to be a defensive battle. And, some might, casual football fans, they might have sat there and gone, oh, this is so boring. I was texting you throughout the game. The defense was so good. I mean, there was such excellent performances on both teams' defenses that we're going to get into. We're going to talk about it. Obviously, if you didn't see the game, why are you listening to this? If you didn't watch the national championship game, why are you listening to this? So I'm not worried about spoiling it for you. Georgia wins their first national championship since 1980. Kirby Smart gets it done, and Nick Saban loses his second matchup ever against a former coach of his. And it's the second time this season it's happened. What a crazy season. Obviously, this Alabama team, I think they overplayed what we expected them to be in this season with this young roster that's going to get better next year. But Georgia was – we talked about it in summer scouting all the way back in – I think we did Georgia in like July, and we talked about how dominant this team can be, how talented they are, especially on the defense. We're talking about – a defense that could get 8-9 guys drafted this year and probably another couple next year or more than a couple. But let's get into this game, Lorenz. First of all, talk about your overall thoughts of the game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was outstanding. These defensive battles, it was so much fun. And talking about the defense, you just alluded to our initial shows. I think I'm somewhere on record saying that if you look at draft eligible talent, there's not a team more talented than Georgia in the entire country. Because I pretty much watched all of their draft eligible starters over the summer and wrote summer scouting reports on them. And it was a super impressive unit, especially that defense, as you alluded to it. Man, they were really able to do it yesterday. And no slight to this Alabama defense. We'll get into Alabama a little bit. But this Georgia defense, man, playing fast, playing aggressive, really got dudes on all three levels at every position. Got guys that can win matchups. Kirby Smart said after the first game they lost too many one-on-one matchups, which I kind of agree with. That wasn't the case yesterday. They kept this Alabama offense honest really all throughout the game. Every play that Alabama was able to make a big play had to be special, had to be Bryce Young avoiding a free rusher, making magic happen. So, yeah, this defense was unbelievable.
No, absolutely. Big Jordan Davis had a great game, but I think that, there was a ton of great performances. This defense was, they were stifling. Alabama's rushing attack couldn't really get in a rhythm, I guess you'd say. There was a couple really good runs by Brian Robinson, but they really couldn't get into a rhythm. And they put a ton of pressure on Bryce Young. They really got to the quarterback the right tackle, whose name is eluding me right now, gave up a ton of pressures. And even Chris Evan Owens. Neal gave – yes. And even Evan Neal gave up a couple pressures off the edge. Trayvon Walker, Nolan Smith both did great getting to the passer. And Georgia was pretty impressive in their scheme. And they did a lot of – I mean, there was a lot of creative twist games, which they obviously do a ton of on that defense. But Dan Lanning – got to be excited if you're Oregon after watching that game, because he did phenomenal. What'd you think about the Georgia's defense and Dan Lanning and what he drew up?
Yeah, they were really aggressive. I mean, they sent so many linebackers through the A-gap. A lot of moments where they were sending both guys, and Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, Channing mm-hmm. Tindall, whoever was out there. And it really showed that they were going to be aggressive, that they were going to force the issue. And then, hey, if Bryce Young is going to beat us, he's going to beat us. But at the end of the day, you also got some pretty good DBs, got some pretty good corners. We'll talk about them that can hang on an island, especially against a shorthanded Alabama receiving core. But, no, they were aggressive. They said, hey, we're not going to let Bryce Young beat us. Again, the run game, I don't think there was ever a debate. I know Brian Robinson, they ran it, I think, 20 times, only got 64 yards, if I remember correctly. So really weren't able to get much going on the ground, despite some good runs. But again, in this game, every five-yard game was like a big play. It was like an impressive run, something that you remember afterwards. But, right. Yeah, they were aggressive. They forced the issue, and it really worked out for them.
Hey, and one of the most exciting plays out there was that interception by Kelee Ringo. Basically seals the game, that pick six, right? And you see Kirby Smart on the replay yelling, "Go down, go down." And then it's the all of a sudden he's in the end zone. Oh yeah. And then he's in the end zone. It's like, just kidding, just kidding. It was all good. But hey, Kelee Ringo, phenomenal play. Jeremiah Bogan, shout out to him. He tweeted out last night after that play, goes, "Every DB in the country lies to their coach during meetings saying they're going down in that situation. Until you get the ball, then the lights are on." Phenomenal tweet. Bogan, a friend of the show. Love him.
I was just going to bring that up. Shout out.
Right?
Yeah, I was gonna say the exact same thing.
I saw that last night. I was like, that is too perfect. We've got to get him on to talk about that. And then Lewis Cine wins game MVP. Well-deserved. Phenomenal game he played. He was involved in everything. What'd you think of Lewis Cine?
Yeah, man, he can fly and he's physical as heck. I mean, I put it out there. He hits so hard and he's like really like a heat seeking missile. I think his athleticism at 200 pounds, which he's up to this year, is so impressive. If I had one issue with Lewis Cine, I think it's the high tackling. A lot of times where he's coming in high, giving up a little bit extra yardage. Mm-hmm. That's something I would love to see him fix, but he was so good. I mean, no question about it. He was everywhere. He was aggressive. He really embodied Georgia's defensive mentality. I think a guy like N'Kobe Dean did as well, but playing fast, but not unhinged, still under control, and just being physical, being tough, and making the right reads and making plays. I mean, that's what Lewis Cine did all game, and I'm a big fan of his game. Talked about it right on the tailgate show. And he showed what he's capable of doing. I mean, I think he's someone who, in a thinner safety class, or even in this class, there's a debate that he could be a late first-round pick.
Oh, absolutely. And a guy who I think is should be a first-round pick and played really well in that Georgia secondary, Darion Kendrick had a great game. It really did. Obviously, you know, going against some of Alabama's, I guess, technically their third, fourth, and fifth receiver, as they were without John Metchie, who tore his ACL before this game. I think in the Georgia game, no?
Yeah.
It was the Georgia game, right? And then
just the like earlier, Jameson Williams. Right.
And
like
then Jameson Williams.
The second quarter, yep.
Both I was so upset seeing that, I mean, the ball thrown down the middle, of course, great catch by Jameson Williams. I mean, it was like he turned his body. It was good ball placement when you consider where the safety was coming from. He wanted to put that ball on the other side of Jameson Williams. It just got him turned around.
It's one of these non-contact that's just making cringe sitting on the couch. I mean,
he planted and it. Unfortunate. I really hope the best for him because I do love his game. I think he's going to be fun to watch at the next level as long as he doesn't lose any of the explosiveness in that knee. But Georgia found plays through the air too. With speaking of the ACL injury, George Pickens came back and looked good in this game. Obviously, he came back a couple weeks ago, but he's been like very used like very limitedly and still was in this game. Didn't get a ton of targets, but
one catch.
That one catch was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
It laid out for it. And then Stetson Bennett had some concerns in this game, but the one throw to, I think it's Adonai Mitchell, right? 40-yard touchdown. What a catch. The late hands. He waits to put his hands up till last second, grabs that ball. This way, the corner doesn't turn around.
It wasn't even great ball placement.
No, I mean, was it the best thrown ball? Absolutely not. Adonai Mitchell, phenomenal
true freshman, been making plays for the Dogs all year. Yep, absolutely. Real quick on the Pickens one. I mean, I think that showed it was eerily similar to you remember last year when they had the bowl game against Cincinnati and he had that big catch down the sideline on that post again. That was sort of a post too where he was laying out. That was a ball from JT Daniels that time, but it was eerily similar to that. And I think it shows the athleticism. It shows the willingness to lay out, obviously. And then just the hands and the confidence that this guy has, the alpha mentality that he's going to come down with the football. I think corner on that play was expecting some middle field, some inside help. Had some things about, you know, push up, whatever. I thought it was just a great play by Pickens, especially to make that tough catch. And then that other one, that other explosive play, I mean, they obviously didn't get a touchdown off of the Pickens one, which that was the concern all game. They were able to find drives. They were able to move the football, but it would always stall in the red zone, outside of the red zone. And then Stetson Bennett has that disastrous fumble where, man, we're all thinking, look, this defense has done everything. This run game has been good. I was just thinking, man, Georgia, if you have anything in the passing game, if you have anything in the back, man, now is the time, right? Now you need it. Because you just gifted Alabama that touchdown to go up. And then that drive was just Todd Monken, Stetson Bennett. They were dialed in. I don't want to make this game entirely about Stetson Bennett, but that drive I thought really was where he was at his best. And he made the big play, trusted Mitchell to make that catch. And it was an impressive bounce back by not just the quarterback, but also the play caller, this entire offense. And that really turned the momentum to where after that play, I thought, all right, Georgia now can play this from out front and win it. Because before they were always chasing a 3-6 point deficit, right? And after that play happened, it was like, man, you now found some explosive plays through the air. That was a big James Cook run, which I think set it up, which, man, he looked a lot like Dalvin on that one. Won't sit here and compare the two. Compare the game entirely. I think Dalvin's a little bit better, but still, that was as close as it's going to get to his brother. But no, Todd Monken, I think he's a good coach, obviously, and that was really the drive of the game, and I think the drive that decided that game with, again, all other facets of this Georgia team playing as well as they did up until that point. It was really the passing game that had to click, and on that drive, they really did.
Yeah, and that fumble recovery was the most nonchalant fumble recovery I've ever seen in my life. He got the foot in. He definitely did.
He had no idea what he was doing.
No idea. He's like, oh, let me just grab that. He had no idea, but hey.
It was like loose ball, you know, just dive on it. It's probably incomplete anyways, but I mean, he didn't dive on it, but let me just get that. And then he's in by like, I don't know, half an inch or something. Like, I mean, you could not see any grass between the white line. That was just, and really either way they called it, like either Georgia or Alabama fans would have been mad. So, but that was a huge call and a huge play in that game. But the bounce back, I think that's what really showed up for Georgia.
Yeah, no, they after that fumble, I think Stetson Bennett did not incomplete a pass. They obviously go down the field and got two touchdowns. It was a game where they couldn't really put the ball in the end zone, and then it just opened up in the fourth quarter, and Alabama couldn't really do the same. They did get a touchdown, but they couldn't really open up the game. Kirby Smart, we talked about him earlier, gets the monkey off his back here. He finally gets his national championship. This was the year he had to do it. I mean, this team is going to lose a lot of players to the draft. This was the year. Don't get me wrong. They'll be crazy talented again next year, but he really needed to get it done with this group. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, this was his best shot, really. And not only does he win the national championship, but he also beats Nick Saban on his way to win the national championship, which I thought was impressive. And yeah, again, I mean, you look at that defense, Kirby Smart, he's a defensive guy. Him and Dan Lanning have done such an outstanding job with that defense and really let Todd Monken do the work, especially in the passing game on offense. I think Monken's obviously going to stick around. Dan Lanning's going to become the defensive head coach at the University of Oregon. But I mean, I think Georgia's going to be all right on the coaching side. I think Dan Lanning, if you have that kind of a defense, it sounds stupid. I still think he's a really good coach. But you can call a lot of things, and a lot of things are going to work if you have guys that are going to consistently win one-on-one matchups. Still, not to take anything away from Dan Lanning, and certainly hope his recruiting for Ducks fans is as good as Kirby's or comes close. But Kirby Smart, he's going to be able to reload. They're going to get 5 stars in that building. We've seen it already. I think the next question for Kirby Smart is, look, we had it with Alabama, right? We had these Alabama teams that had a dominant rushing game and could push you around with that offensive line, and they had a great defenses, right? Dating back to the Jacob Coker days trying to think of some Alabama quarterbacks, but sort of the early 2010s. And then with Tua, really, Alabama kind of flipped the switch, brought in Lane Kiffin, and this offense became really, really explosive. They brought in some NFL quarterbacks. I'm not seeing that from Georgia right now. I think JT Daniels was sort of an attempt on that, but didn't really work out. We'll see if he'll stick around. I know they have some big-time recruits. I kind of pegged Caleb Williams there last podcast. I think I was way off on that, even though in my head it
maybe
so much sense. But gonna take the L right here. But that's gonna be the next question. I think this Georgia team's gonna be good. They're gonna be sticking around for a long time, especially in the SEC East. There are not a lot of teams that I see challenge Kirby Smart and challenge Georgia in the next 2-3 years. I think that's as long as it's gonna take for Billy Napier. But yeah. Quarterback. I think it's so important. You had a guy like Justin Fields there. You weren't able to capitalize. So now can you get that type of talent, that type of dynamic NFL starting quarterback in there? And I think that'll give you some margin for error, because getting a roster as good as this one, even if you're the best recruiter, a top 3 recruiter in college football, is going to be so difficult. You saw it really with Alabama this year, where they don't have the elite of the elite of draftable talent, but having Bryce Young have again, an NFL quarterback just makes up for so much.
No, 100%. And this, you know, you really, I think it's got to be discussed. And I do think you actually said it on the Tailgate Show, but I've seen it a couple of places too. Think about it like this. This Georgia team was so talented. If you flip the two quarterbacks, you go Bryce Young is a Georgia quarterback and Stetson Bennett's the Alabama quarterback. I don't know if Alabama makes this game. I really don't think that they do. I think
probably
that we're talking about
to Auburn. And
I think we're talking about it. Right. I think we're talking about a team that has three or four losses, whereas this Georgia team doesn't have any game that comes within 30 points. You know,
I mean, the first Alabama matchup doesn't happen. And if this one was against Alabama or Michigan, we saw that, you know, any other team that was elite right. this year, I think it's an absolute blowout.
Yeah. And that's look, I don't want to disrespect Stetson Bennett after the, you know, one of the greatest moments that he's had so far in his career, whether his career continues after this, we'll find out. I've not.
Hey man, he's a national champion. No one can take that away from him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm going to say on Stetson Bennett in his football career.
Let's move on to the
Great
Alabama
story,
side.
Honestly.
Great. No, phenomenal story. Very happy for him. I'm not the biggest Stetson Bennett football
player. I was
player
super frustrated during the game. Yeah. like during the game of so many Georgia games this year, you're sitting there like, Jesus, it's got to be more in this. Like, you have
right.
all these dudes, right?
Come on.
Brock Bowers, and this passing attack. There's so many mistakes right in the Alabama game. But then, you know, it would have been no fun had they had a C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young playing quarterback, because that would have just been unfair.
Let's talk about the Alabama side a little bit here. Bryce Young honestly did have a really good game. He throws the two interceptions, but he was under duress the entire game. I think he really did have a great game here. Talk a little bit about this performance, because yes, the two interceptions stand out, but honestly, both of them weren't necessarily 100% his fault.
Yeah. I mean, again, you look at the box score, you attempt like 50-some passes. The two interceptions does look great, but I feel like he really dragged this Alabama team with the defense. Mm-hmm. But really, he really dragged this Alabama offense to stay within the game. He had some frustrating plays where there were young receivers dropping the football on third down. I think a touchdown that he missed. But he was also making plays to guys that – look, he just wasn't that comfortable with. They've been running through Mechie and Jameson Williams all year, and those two guys weren't on the field. So I think Bryce Young played really, really well, played up to his standard, wasn't as good as the first game. I think it's so difficult to judge because Georgia's defense was just that step better, and he didn't have the weapons at his disposal. So that was still probably the best game of his career and of his season was the first matchup, but by no means does he – bear any of the blame, I think, on this defeat. I hate blaming players solely, and especially quarterbacks, always tough. But I think he played very well, and he was one of the many bright spots, really. Alabama, they, as a team, played well for 3.5 quarters, and he was part of that. I think he had a very, very good game. Not quite a great game, but he did everything I think he could to keep his team in the game.
Absolutely. And the question has to be asked here. And I think that for me, it does change it. I'm not necessarily sure if it changes the ending outcome, though. Of course, I did pick Alabama to win this game. Watching the game, I'm not sure if it changes the ending outcome here. But does a healthy John Mechie and Jameson Williams change this game? I think it does. I mean, I'll give it to you here. I think it does, because you looked at it in the first half. He's getting the ball to Jameson Williams, but that was about it. It was really just like he only looked comfortable throwing the ball to Jameson Williams. John Mechie, he looked super comfortable throwing the ball to John Mechie during the season. So, I mean, I think for me, it does. I'll give it to you here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it changed it a lot, and it would force Georgia to hit that to hit their stride in the passing attack earlier to if they wanted to end up winning this game, because I think if Jameson Williams and John Mechie are out there for four quarters, mm-hmm. I think Alabama is able to at least once get that explosive play. I think they're eight with Jameson Williams. I think they're able to keep more drives alive on third and long with John Metchie, who's so good at moving the sticks. So I'm not going to go out here and say Alabama wins this game, but I think it's even closer and it's even tougher for Georgia to win this game and to beat Alabama if those two guys are out there. So I think it made a big difference. I don't think it can be understated how much that really hurt this Alabama offense that their two premier playmakers weren't out there.
No question about it. For me, you talked about it earlier. The receivers that came into the game, this is no disrespect to them because there's going to be a ton of talent there. But I do think that they dropped a couple balls that really shouldn't have been dropping, especially against this Georgia defense where you can't
got to be perfect
opportunity. Exactly. You can't blow opportunities. And there was a couple drop balls. I'm not saying Bryce Young made, you know, every throw was perfect, but there were some really good throws that the receivers just couldn't come down with. It happens. They'll all be back. They're going to get better next year. Cameron Latu had a really good game, 5 receptions, 102 yards. He had that one touchdown. I thought he played pretty well.
He stepped up. He was really the main guy. I mean, and really, Jaleel Billingsley was someone who I was touting. There was obviously the off-field kind of stuff going into the season. Still think he's supremely talented, but just doesn't look like the confident player that he was emerging to be at the end of 2020. And Cameron Latu, the other tight end, really stepped up massively, was Bryce Young's main guy. I know they're young receivers. I think 84, forget his name, sorry. I know he's a massive guy, and everyone that's into high school recruiting and Debbie listen to this going to be like, oh, look at this idiot. But I'm more on the draft side of things. I'll get to him. But I think he had that one drop there. There were some inconsistencies. You're not going to rely on a Slade Bolden to have that huge game for you, right? Although he was fine, he was solid. But, yeah, I mean, it was Latu who stepped up. I think he deserves a lot of praise, too, to be a pretty reliable target for this team. And help Bryce Young. He was Bryce Young's biggest help, maybe alongside Evan Neal in this game.
Absolutely. Last thing I really want to discuss here, it does beg the question with this young team that Alabama is returning. I mean, how often do you get a team that goes to the national championship and gets to return its top player on offense and its top player on defense? Will Anderson is the top player in college football. And there is an argument to be made that he's one of the top players to ever play college football. He immediately would like to start my Will Anderson Heisman campaign for 2022. Absolutely should get it.
He was my pick this year.
Right. He absolutely should get it. He is going to be the top pick in 2023, unless his quarterback ends up being the top pick in 2023, or CJ Stroud, of course, still in that conversation. But is Alabama the favorite for 2022? I'll let you first. I'll throw my take in there.
I think pretty easily, man. Like that was sort of like my second thought after looking at Georgia and being happy for that team, being happy for the players and sort of admiring the game and the season they had, was like, man, this Alabama team, it's reminiscent of, remember when Ohio State won the first college football playoffs ever, and they had underclassmen all over the place. I remember Joey Bosa was going to be, I think it was Joey Bosa. I remember they were bringing back a lot of impact players and it really felt like, hey, this team peaked early, right? They weren't supposed to win it, and I think it was 15, and then obviously in 16 they had a bit of a letdown year, and that's kind of what it feels like for Alabama, that they theoretically shouldn't have been really half a quarter away from winning the national championship this year with how many underclassmen and sophomores, freshmen they were relying on. I think they're the clear-cut favorites if you look at everyone Georgia is going to lose. If you look at everyone there that Alabama is going to keep, if you look at Nick Saban, that awesome moment last night in the press conference where he was saying, hey, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, this one game doesn't define how great these two players are. And he's absolutely right. I mean, I think this team, this core of players are going to be on a mission next year. And I'm willing to bet a lot of money that they'll be back right there in the college football final and going for that for that playoff trophy. And yeah, I mean, they're pretty easily, like, they're by far my number one favorite to get it this year. I think they're more complete. Ohio State has the championship offense. Georgia, they're going to reload, but I think that's going to be a 2023 team more so, because they're losing so many guys. Could prove me wrong. Texas A&M, you always got to deal with, but they're bringing in all the young guys. I mean, man, Alabama, yeah, long story short, I think next year, I think they're the clear-cut favorites.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Alabama next year is the team you're walking through. I mean, in the SEC, you got to look at it like, I just don't see another team, and I want to give as much respect to this Georgia team as I possibly can, because I disrespected them on the tailgate show by saying Alabama was going to win this game pretty handedly. Clearly was wrong, but I do think that this Georgia team, so talented, they're going to lose so many players, though, and it's just so tough for them to – you're right. I think 2023 is more so where you're looking, because they do have the talent on their backups. Their backups are crazy talented and young.
And but Alabama's quarterback, just throwing that in
that's
there.
That's a great quick question, because it's not going to be Caleb Williams. We'll get into that next week. I think we'll talk about that and the coaching carousel going around in the NFL, because it got takes on that. Yeah, we'll get into that next week for sure. We hopefully get Jack back next week, talk about some of this NFL stuff, and I think we are, which really excited about that. But yeah, I just think Alabama has to be the favorite going into next year. I am so excited to see this. How can you, as Will Anderson and Dallas Turner too, let's not forget about him. We didn't even discuss him.
Stud.
How can you go from what they were able to do this year to improving and getting better next year at the college level? I think that if you took Will Anderson and put him in the NFL this year, he would win. Like, if you put him in this draft class, he gets drafted number one overall. I think he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year. And he still can't even be in the NFL because he's too young. It's insane to me. But we can get into that. We got plenty of draft season to talk about that, man. Any final words before we get out of here?
Yeah, Dallas Turner. I mean, you're going to get me raving about a couple of these guys. I mean, I saw a couple of reps of him against Charles Cross, and I was like, yeah, this dude's a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's real.
They're different types of players. But both these guys are incredible and are going to make NFL franchises very happy in the future. But, yeah, man, Alabama, I can't wait for what they're going to be able to do next year, really for next year for the college football season. This was great. This was one of the coolest seasons, I thought, really, with the new teams in the playoff. And I'm just really fired up to see where it goes from here.
Sure. No, I don't blame you. I mean, this was a fun season, and next year, next year and a couple of years from now, Texas and USC will probably be starting to get into the fold here, which is great for college football. Alabama, Texas, USC, LSU is probably going to get back into the mix at some point. Ole Miss is a good program here. Florida gets Bill Napier. I mean, Dan Lanning out in Oregon. The list goes on and on. It's going to be fun. We got some teams here, but that's all we got for you today. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Prospect Profits. This is one of the most fun episodes I think we've had. National championships always fun to talk about. We are on Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, so make sure you tune in there and check us out. Check out our past shows and check out all the past shows that we've put on as a company. We'll be back with more Prospect Profits next Thursday. Be sure to tune into that and tune into any shows that we have a show coming out every day. So tune into that on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network.